players are feeling very relaxed. They look alright and reasonably sharp out there. The day before a match is always quite nice. Seem to find their childish side normally on a Friday morning, but a good morning. Some set pieces that we've been through, just to remind the guys of what they're going to run into, and hopefully we can be a little bit more productive. But all in all, very good.
What have you learned from the two meetings during the regular season about FC Dallas?
Good football inside, good athleticism, pace in the right areas, and very competitive. I'm sure tomorrow night will be no different. I would think the opening exchanges are going to be, a locking of the horns, trying to force our way into their half and third of the field physically and athletically. They'll be no different. They'll be looking for those openings and trying to impose themselves individually on certain players. And then I would think if the game, starts to die down, the individuals, the Ferreras, the Breccias, whether it's Cunningham or a Tebow up front, those guys are going to be looking to be a little bit more imposing with their techniques and their quality on the ball.
What does it say about your team that you've got where you are without the need for a designated player to go and spend a lot of money on one guy that you haven't had to do that?
Well, I think you focus on other areas of the game and the guys around the league that are DPs are wonderful players and they bring an awful lot to the team and of course to the franchise. However, when you haven't got one, you tend to rely on other qualities, and there's certainly something about this team that money can't buy, and that's spirit, in the absolute truckload. So when things are not quite going the way we want them to, they draw together well, they play well as a team, they show a lot of character, and when things are going well, they tend to really pull themselves in and support each other fantastically. So tomorrow night's going to be a wonderful occasion for that, because we're going to get both of those emotions, I'm sure.
What could happen is individual skill on the game. Do you have anything in mind to close him down after seeing what he's done in the previous playoff games?
Well, we have our own game plan and we have our own individuals that are capable of dealing with that sort of talent. I would think David's feeling the pressure a little bit as well. Everyone's speaking about him. He's MVP. He knows that if he performs tomorrow night, they go a long, long way to achieving something that they've never done before. I can't imagine what sort of weight that's putting on someone's shoulders. That must be very, very difficult for the lad. However, he is a very, very talented guy, and he is very, very capable. And he will be a focal point, of course, for one or two of our guys.
What kind of influence or importance did Marvell bring to the team this year?
A lot. That athleticism, number one, was a great improvement in the group. And I think the lad's done extremely well to adapt to that centre-back position. I know that question was asked yesterday. It's not easy. He'd never played there before. When we played Chivas, first game of the season, he flew in from Toronto, landed late after a delay, and I spoke to him in my room and said, "Marv, thinking of playing your centre-back, do you fancy it?" If he'd have said no at that point, I'd have been in big trouble. But he was so positive about playing the position that It just lent itself to throwing him straight into the equation without a training session, something I might not normally have done, and he's embraced it so well.
What made you think about that? Because he never played the position here when he was here in Toronto. So what did you see in him that you thought that he might be able to handle?
Well, again, I said yesterday, as a fullback, he's very physically equipped and robust. He's not the general fullback style and stamp. If you look at, Koski Kamara, if you look at Benitez, left back for Dallas, he's much more physically equipped. He's broader, he's stronger, he looks just more durable. He jumps, he leaps, like a salmon. He gets off the floor because he's such a powerful individual. He heads the ball extremely well for an out-and-out fullback before he came. And those qualities were there to see. Now, when you combine that with the fact that he gave us, such a different dimension in terms of his pace, it just lent itself as a visual when I was watching him here to be thinking that he could do a very good job for us. The fact that he's played there a number of times now really is down to Marv. I mean, the thought was in my mind, but if he hadn't embraced it as well as he has, then it would have been difficult. It might have taken more time, certainly more work on the training field, but, you know, he's just fitted in so quickly into the role.
Gary, what's Jamie's status?
He's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's in contention.
Yeah.
You know, he's available for selection, and I'll have to make a decision on that, but he's healthy.
Okay. If it's yep. not him, it's Wells, and Wells played very
terrific.
Well against San Jose.
Big decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does
big
it change
decision.
The way you guys play at all, or no? Is it sort of filling in the same
Not an awful lot. Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, if you look at the two guys, you know, Jamie, I think, has a tad more experience in maybe in these big games, having played for his country and for Celtic. However, you know, Wells is one of those guys that nothing affects him.
Yeah.
You know, he's such a genuine and unassuming guy. If it's Wells, he'll be out there and he'll be giving it everything, and physically, you know, he'd run for a brick wall.
Yeah. Did you see the Arsenal?
No, but I heard the score very, very disappointed. Yeah, extremely disappointed. Yeah, that's put a little bit of a dampener on the day.
The whole thing, huh?
Yeah. Especially, I heard they were 2-0 up as well.
Yeah.
That inside-out run that Omar makes, it seems like everybody knows it's coming, but nobody can really stop it. What makes it so dangerous?
A couple of things. The first one is that when you've got guys like Brian Mullen, Jamie and Wells, who are very capable on the ball, it draws the fullback out.
Yeah.
So the fullback has to come and deal with that initial player. Secondly, Omar's so quick. You know, he gets away from his marker. He finds that area, the delivery is normally a decent one, and now we find ourselves in a very good position. The two guys centrally for Dallas are very decent. Ugo, of course, we had athletically is a nice matchup. However, when you get paired up 1v1, a lot of things go through your mind. And in finals, when you're in and around the edge of that penalty area and you're 1v1, the last thing you want to be doing is making a mistake and diving in. So as much as we can get him in that position, as much I think it'll be, you know, ever so creative and successful, I think, for us.
How is his service kind of developed from the right? Because he's often, when he's going out there, he's trying to get it in the corner,
yeah.
in the middle, and it seems like the quality of his service is...
Well, I think over the 2 years, his game's improved drastically,
mm-hmm.
and credit to Omar for the amount of work he's put in. But I have to say, you know, the coaching staff here have done a fantastic job, and Steve's worked tirelessly with Omar. When you see that he jumps out of tackles, you know that Steve's not been working on that. But his delivery, his 1v1 work, you know, just dropping his shoulder and working an angle, type of delivery, you know, it's easier said than done when you're just saying, listen, cross the ball. But there are different types of delivery, and if anyone's you know, got an inside knowledge of that, it's Steve. He's been one of the best crossers of the ball in his career, and he's worked fantastically, not just with Omar, but, you know, two or three of the guys, and I think he's showing.
Were you disappointed with Marvell's penalty kick effort in the CN Tower last night?
I didn't see it, but someone told me about it, and Ugo came up chumps, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Marv's been working at his penalties as well. We'll have to make sure he's not involved in them if it goes to it.
Okay.
He's been looking decent out there, though, taking them. He must have been under pressure there.
It was cold.
Maybe he didn't get his warm-up right.
Right.
Yeah.
Coach, when you look back and you look at the path that you've taken, you kind of joined.
You
came to Colorado to manage their Arsenal Academy of Excellence.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you wonder about how fate has kind of rolled into this now? I mean, where you come, you didn't probably have any fancies to take a head coaching job in Colorado. I mean, tell me a little bit about that process. It's kind of a little fairy tale if you look at it, kind
yeah.
of, no? Am I wrong?
I mean, at the time, I knew very little about the Colorado Rapids team. I'd taken some time to look at what the club was about because of the Arsenal role that was upcoming. But you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, it was a sequence of events. But then I do believe all sports, and especially the one that I've been in all my life, is about opportunity. And, you know, the planets aligned themselves for a reason. And, you know, it seemed a fairly natural course of events when asked to try and help, that I would do that anyway. And the interim period went extremely well. And that was probably the most important time, because you know, the players were lacking in a bit of confidence, and we were in a difficult position, and certainly the franchise itself was probably feeling a little bit sorry for itself, and we went on a fantastic run, and the players have to take a lot of credit for that, because they were in a very tight spot at that time, but it went well. And then the question was posed, and opportunity is what everybody's after, and to be able to make a decision based on a choice is always nice when you haven't got a choice.
But at the time, were you an employee of Arsenal at that time?
I mean, at that time, I was an employee of Arsenal. I was an employee of Arsenal when I took the interim job, and
so while you were an assistant, you were still an employee of Arsenal?
Absolutely.
Really?
Well, it was a dual role. And the fact that the academy had taken some time really to evolve, and still at this point, you know, it's an ongoing process, but the relationship between the two clubs is strong, and I'm sure that at some point that will be ever more prevalent at the club. But it was something that wasn't quite taking, you know, expanding as quickly as everyone would have liked. But, you know, I was still an employer.
But you were a scout for Arsenal in Spain, in your bio it says.
That's right, yeah.
And then did David Dean come to you? Was it Wenger? Who came to you and said, hey, we have this project in Colorado we want you to take over? Do you remember?
Well, I think there were a couple of things. I mean, Steve Rowley, who's the chief scout in Arsenal, and Dick Law, who has now taken over that sporting director role, pretty much in the David Dean role, were very instrumental in the dialogue with Jeff Plush. And I think the foundation of coming over were through those guys. And then now that expanded, and what we were looking at after that was going over then to a more technical side with, of course, Fernando at the time, and John Murphy, and of course what the connection is in Arsenal.
So a lot of people who might say this Arsenal relationship really hasn't resulted in anything. It's resulted in you being here.
Well, no, and of course I think relationships are a big part of it, and as this whole thing unfolds, I would hope in the future, if I'm still around, that my relationship with the guys at Arsenal, and even with Arsene himself, whilst I'm not close friends with Arsene, I've had some nice contact with him, that in the future, you know, he might see the opportunity and what it might offer up to Arsenal itself, whether that be a pre-season tour, whether it be players, whether it be, you know, that scouting network that, of course, is becoming ever more expanded.
Are you trying
expanded.
To foster that yourself? With
absolutely.
Them and trying to maybe tap into...
Absolutely. You know, the guys there, there's a lot of friends that I have there. And it takes time. People are not... You know, when you talk about the Premier League being, you know, one of the best leagues in the world, you know, those guys are not just going to offer up talented players and say, listen, yeah, ship them 4,500 miles away and not worry about them.
Right.
You know, we have to make sure that the culture within our club is right. There's no doubt in the facility and the way they're going to be looked after. The standard's improving all the time. And as I say, that can sometimes take a little bit longer than you would like, but the future is something that we'll keep working at.